Think, therefore, upon seeing and hearing of others' deaths. I am no different. Death will soon come. Its certainty is no doubt, but no certainty as to when. I must say farewell to my body, wealth, and friends, but good and bad deeds will follow like shadows. So last time we talked about I must say farewell to my wealth and friends, and we talked about how we work so hard to have wealth and friends and family and approval and reputation and all of that in this life, and create a lot of harmful karma in the process of doing so. And then at the time we die, we separate from all these things, and our karma comes with us, but our possessions stay here, our family and friends stay here. And so how thinking about that really helps us set our priorities about what's important in our life and how to spend our time. So we didn't get to the third one of those. You know, I must say farewell to my body, okay? And so that's what I wanted to talk about today. So our body, well, first of all, wealth, friends and relatives, and our body are probably the three things we're most attached to, right? Yeah, we want possessions and the success and comfort that they represent. We want friends and relatives for the emotional security, again, the success, the appreciation and everything that they represent. And then our body, which has been with us from the time of birth, that we've never been separated from, that we adore dearly and spend so much of our life taking care of. At the time when we die, this body stays here, and our consciousness goes on alone with all the karmic seeds that we've created with respect to this body. Yeah. So if we look at our attitude with our towards our body, we may say, well, I'm not attached to this body. Yeah. You hear people say, I'm not attached to this body. I'm not afraid of death. No problem. Yeah. But they scratch themselves and like, oh, I scratched myself. It hurt so much. Oh no, what happens if this gets infected? You know? Yeah, really, where you have no attachment for this body. Come on. Yeah, we're very attached to this body. We're attached to its looks. Yeah, because we get so much of our self-esteem if we have an attractive, young, beautiful, healthy, athletic body. And we get ignored if we have, you know, an old body or whatever, or a disabled body, or, you know, who knows what. Yeah, so very attached to the way this body looks. We spend a lot of time dressing this body. Yeah. I mean, clothes are basically just for the purpose of protecting the body. That's what the Vinaya says. We wear clothes to protect the body from heat and cold and bugs and things like that. But in society, we use our dress to indicate a lot, don't we? Yeah. And all you have to do is just look at the, you know, newspapers and all the advertisements about clothing, you know. You look at what they wear during the Academy Awards and Emmy Awards, all these kinds of things, how the people dress, you know. It's just, I look at it and it's like, oh my goodness, I would be so embarrassed to wear that kind of clothing. You know? Or that kind of non-clothing. Yeah? And yet people so attached to their clothing, which also represents your social status, because we dress according to our social status and our self-image and our occupation. We spend so much time decorating this body. Yes, you have to have jewelry. Both men and women have jewelry. Yeah, we take care of our hair. Yeah, so either you let it grow long, or you cut it short, or you try and get some, you know. So much about our hair, dyeing it, combing it, worrying about it. Yeah, don't we? I mean, I sometimes think, what would it be like if I could, you know, before I ordained, all the time I spent, especially as a teenager and in my early 20s, thinking about my hair and doing stuff for my hair. It was an incredible amount of time, you know? And I had to spend hours, many hours, meditating on my, you know, cutting off my hair before I could get myself to do it, because I had hair down to here. That was beautiful. Whoa. You know? And it's like, it took me so many years to grow this out. Yeah, and I don't want to cut it off. You know, so I used to visualize, you know, like if I down now, then they put me in a casket with my long, beautiful hair, and then people come by and look and say, oh, she has such beautiful hair, that corpse. And the absurdity of that is what got me mentally okay with cutting off my hair. It's like, what good is this hair gonna do me when I'm dead? You know, zero. And yet, so much time and energy. Yeah. Then we think about, you know, the shape of our body and our weight. And if you're too thin, you wanna get fatter. If you're too fat, you wanna get thinner. I grew up as my family, my parents, all their friends, one of the biggest topics of conversation was weight and how to lose it. And I grew up thinking that if you're an adult, you're overweight, and you spend so much time worrying about your weight, trying to lose it, hating yourself not for losing it. That was the image I have of grown-ups, because that was the situation with my parents and all their friends, you know, and how much time they spent there. Then, how much time when you want to go out to eat? Yeah? First of all, deciding on what restaurant to go to. Yeah? That takes at least a half an hour. Yeah? I don't know if your family's like my family. Yeah, but first you have to talk about which restaurant you do. Do you want Italian food? Do you want Chinese food? You know, which Chinese restaurant? Because this one has this, that one has that. Or maybe you want Thai food, or maybe we should try the Moroccan food, or, you know, the Israeli food, or maybe just go to Pizza Hut for something quick and cheap. You know, so much time discussing which restaurant to go to. Then, once you arrive at the restaurant, another half an hour discussing what to order. Yeah. I'm not joking. This is my family, you know. And you sit there, and it's like, this dish has this, and this one has that. And then calling the waiter or waitress over, can you make this one, but without this ingredient, and add this other one instead? You know, and so all these the things about food to nourish this body, spend a half an hour on that. It comes, you eat it without paying any attention to it, except you have to say it's really good. And then after the meal, you say, oh, I ate so much, I feel sick, but it was so delicious. Yeah? That's to nourish the body. And that's just going out to eat, okay? What about the time we spend going to the grocery store and cooking the food and looking at all the ads for, you know, who has discount on what food? Yeah, so you cut out all the coupons, you go to this market to save food by using these coupons, and then you spend money on gas and pollute the universe more by driving across town to the other supermarket where it has different coupons for other things where you can save another nickel or a dime or maybe a quarter, you know? Okay, right? Okay. Yeah. And if we look, you know, the amount of time just keeping this body alive with food, clothing, then what about shelter? Talk about building a building, buying a building. How much time you spend getting shelter for this body. Yeah. And then, of course, once you have a shelter, complaining that it isn't adequate. Yeah, the room is too cold, the room is too hot. You have to walk up too many stairs, the stairs aren't evenly spaced. The carpet isn't the right color. You know, the carpet isn't soft enough for our precious feet. You know, the kitchen isn't large enough for our precious mouth. And so trying to revise the house. Then keeping this body healthy. Okay, how many hours do we have to sleep? Yeah, they say in Lam Rim, you know, most people sleep 8 hours. That means 1/3 of our life is spent unconscious sleeping. Think about that, 1/3. So if you live to be 60, you've spent 20 years sleeping. That's outrageous. And then what about people who sleep 9, 10, 11, 12 hours? You know, not just 1/3 of the life, more. Yeah, sleeping. Yeah. And you're not even awake to enjoy how good you feel when you sleep. You know, I mean, sleeping is funny, isn't it? You go to sleep, you're unconscious. There's absolutely no pleasure during all those hours you're unconscious. Yeah, and then you wake up and say, how good I feel having slept that long. But you were totally out to lunch, yeah? And then, you know, we have to have a bed that is not too soft, because if it's too soft, our back hurts. Not too hard, because if it's too hard, our back also hurts. We have to have a bed at the right angle according to what our body likes. You know, if you need to have your feet up because you have swelling, if you need to have your head up because you do have GERD, you know, so a lot of time making our special bed so that we're comfortable. Yeah, then our blankets. Yeah. My blankets, that when we change rooms every spring, I want to take my blankets with. Do you remember that? Yeah? I don't want to use somebody else's blankets. Because these are my blankets. You know, we're really like that. Yeah, and then I have to have a rug right under where I get out of bed, a rug to put my feet on. Yeah, and just enough blankets. The room has to be a certain temperature. If it's too cold, I don't want to put on extra blankets. I want to raise the heat. If it's too hot, I don't want to remove my blankets and open a window because bugs might come in, and God forbid, germs with the fresh air. I have one friend that we go through long discussions about this with. Yeah. So, you know, the temperature, that's when we're sleeping. Then when we're awake, the temperature has to be right. So especially during retreat, yeah, especially during retreat, the temperature of the room is of utmost importance. So you get up and open the window because it's too stuffy, and the person next to you stands up and closes the window because it's too cold. Yeah. Then wait until you get hot flashes. You don't know, you want half of the window open and the other half closed because half of your body's warm and the half of your body's closed. And then it switches after 30 seconds. Yeah, but the temperature's got to be exactly like I want it. Not too hot, not too cold. Yeah, I have to drink perfect water. Yeah, and have all the food that I like. Yeah, and my body has to be always healthy. And I will do 10 blacks backflips to make sure it's healthy. So, you know, I have to have a special room for yoga. Do not ask me to do yoga in a room that has a laminate floor. Even I have a yoga mat. No, my body is too precious to do that. Yeah. So I have to have my right room for yoga at the right temperature and my yoga clothes. Yeah, I can't do yoga in just any clothes. I have to wear my yoga clothes. Yeah, especially if you go to a yoga center, right? You know. And then, you know, if you go cycling, you have to have your cycling clothes. You can't just put on jeans and a sweatshirt. You have to have cycling clothes and a helmet that matches. Yeah. Helmet has to be the same color as your cycling clothes, right? Okay. Or at least blend and offset the subtle colors in your cycling clothes that you brought out with the helmet. Okay. Yeah. So on and on and on, isn't it? Like this, with our body, pampering this body, you know? Then we stub our toe. You know, it's like this is bordering on national disaster. Yeah. I remember, you know, when I was like, maybe what was it? Maybe second or third grade. There was one girl who, on the yard, you know, she sprained her ankle. She got so much attention. Everybody rushed around her. All the boys wanted to help her, and she was hanging off their shoulders. This is in third grade, you know, getting all the attention from the boys walking. Then the teacher gives you so much attention. So after I saw how much attention she got spraining her ankle, I tried to sprain my ankle. Seriously. I tried to sprain my ankle. But I'm such a klutz, I could never do it. So I never got the same attention as this other girl got by spraining her ankle. Okay. But everything that happens to our body, do you remember when you play softball and you got hit in the stomach? You know, you know, oh, I want some attention. This is terrible. Look how sick I am. You know, you catch a cold and then all of a sudden you wear all your Alaska gear, you know. You're bundled up like, you know, like this is terrible. I mean, it's just a cold, but, you know, you have your everything on and then, you know, 5 or 10 masks. Yeah, yeah, because the thin ones don't do anymore. Now, I just recently discovered with the smoke, you know, they have thicker masks, you know, the 9.5 and 10 masks. Yeah, next time I get a cold, I better wear one of those, not one of those thin, creepy ones. Yeah, so everything, then I need the medicine, I need to see the doctor, I get the sniffles. I remember in Singapore, you know, I start coughing immediately. They want to take you to the doctor. What's the doctor going to do if you have a common cold? Yeah, he's going to say, go to bed and sleep. Yeah, but I got to go to the doctor. It's just amazing. We fuss so much about this body, don't we? You know, and worry. And then when it has really severe sicknesses, we go really nuts, you know? You get kidney disease, you get cancer, you get a heart condition, yeah, or you get severely injured. Now, then we totally go ballistic, you know, my life is falling apart. Oh, how could this happen to me? You know, and our whole world gets condensed down into this body, and that's all that's important. You know, our dharma is out the window, and worry and anxiety is, you know, the air we breathe. And then at the end of this day, what does this body do? dies. You know, we've taken so much good care of it for how many years, and then it completely betrays us and dies. And it doesn't tell us when it's going to die or how it's going to die. We can't schedule it. It would be really convenient to schedule, wouldn't it? You know, you could finish all of your projects and then, you know, have your visualization of your dream death. Yeah, plan it. Yeah, have everything you want in front of you. Get free of everything you don't want. Make sure the bed's very comfortable. Yeah, yeah, and then you lie down. But you have to look beautiful when you die. Remember there was this movie star recently who had a facelift or something after she died? Yes. Do you remember reading about it? She was some famous person. Yeah. You know, because she wanted to look beautiful in her casket. Okay. So, I mean, how much time and energy we spend and worry and attachment to this body and anxiety over this body, yeah, when in actual fact the body, from a Dharma viewpoint, yeah, is simply the basis for having a precious human life. So we need to keep it clean and take care of it so we can practice the Dharma. That's all. We don't need to pamper it. We don't need to do ascetic trips. Just clean, take care of it so we can practice and use it to practice the Dharma. And then when it's time to die, bye. Yeah, Lama Yeshe used to say, you want to be like a bird taking off from a ship in the middle of the ocean. The bird just goes. Bird doesn't like, oh God, can I fly off this ship? And then, you know, starts to flap and look back and, oh, this precious ship. You know, where am I going? Yeah. Bird just goes. That's what the way we want to be. So we have some work to do on cutting the attachment to this body, don't we, if we're going to die in a peaceful way. Yeah? And then also, I mean, there I was just talking about the time that we take to take care of our body. But what about the karma we create in protecting this body? And the karma we create in pleasing this body? Karma created out of attachment. You know, we kill others to protect this body, steal from others to protect this body, have unwise and unkind sexual relationships to give pleasure to the body. You know, lie to protect the body, talk behind other people's backs, speak harshly, all these things, you know, solely to give this body pleasure and protect it from harm. And then at the end of the day, the body stays here. It becomes some rotten, stinking corpse that nobody wants to go near. And our consciousness goes on alone with all the karma that we created. Yeah, so I think there's something quite important to meditate on here, don't you? Yeah, because if we can have a good relationship with our body, then we can free ourselves from creating so much destructive karma and have a whole lot more time to practice and have a mind that's much more relaxed.
My experience at the time is also that we actually don't take care of this body, like we put a lot of junk food in it. When we're lucky, it's only junk food, but it could also be cigarettes or alcohol. We need a lot of time before we go to see someone when we have a lot of pain. So it's a little bit difficult for me to relate to everything what you say.
Oh, about how we fuss about, okay, let me, yeah, that's a good point. So I said we spend a lot of time taking care of this body. What I meant by taking care is giving this body pleasure and protecting it from harm. But you're absolutely right. In another way, we don't treat this body very well because in our pursuit of pleasure, we don't eat well. We take all sorts of substances that harm our body, alcohol, you know, recreational drugs and so on. So we don't actually take care of the health of this body because we spend so much time just seeking its pleasure. Yeah, so we eat too much, we eat the wrong stuff. Yeah, we don't exercise because who wants to get out of the off of the couch? Yeah. So actually, if in a Dharma way, if we're going to keep this body clean and healthy to practice, then we really have to watch our diet, yeah, watch what we consume, make sure we exercise, yeah, go to the doctor when we need to. Mm-hmm.